What's up, everybody? It's Hank here with the audio version of Smoke Break MMA Podcast. My guest here today is making his Cage Warriors debut. He is a up-and-coming, bright, lightweight prospect in the world of MMA, Stephen Hooper. Now, first off, your nickname. Now, I want to make sure I got this right. Clocky T, is that your nickname?
Yeah.
Clocky T, that's a very unique nickname. Where did that nickname come from?
It's quite a long story, actually. just kind of like Clocky's always been my nickname, and it just kind of follows me around. And it's like, and then like, I kind of like, when you fill out these forms when you go for fights, and they're like, what's your nickname? Sometimes it's just like, I'll put Clocky T on it for a laugh. And then it's kind of, it kind of was a laugh at amateur, but now it's become like, it's carried through to my pro career now as well, so it's like I'm probably stuck with it.
It's definitely very unique. It's a very unique nickname. You know, you see some that are repetitive that a lot of people have, you know, the monster, the beast, the killer, you know, but that's actually, I've never heard that, and it's a very unique nickname.
Yeah, it's definitely something different than that.
So this is actually your Cage Warriors debut. Now, I will not lie. I don't watch a lot of Cage Warriors. You know, I watch a little bit. But, you know, I see a lot of people speak very highly of them. You know, a lot of people.
This is the promotion where, like, the best talent from, you know, like, from, like, you know, the UK side of MMA comes from. Like, look at the people who have been on it before, like Michael Bisping and Conor McGregor. Like, they're two UFC world champions.
Yep.
You know, so it just shows that, like, promotion is, like, one of the biggest ones, you know, especially for getting people into the UFC as well, because a lot of times, like, you see people from this promotion go over to the UFC because, you know, it's, like, it's showing on Fight Pass, so it's kind of linked. So, like, it's good. It's a good show to go for if you get to that level.
Yeah, it's kind of like the UK's version of LFA here in America. Do you know what LFA is?
No, I've not heard of that one, is it?
Legacy Fighting Championship. Oh. It's a...
Oh, no, yeah. I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, or LFA. I said something else. But yeah, it's LFA. It's on Friday nights on free TV. It's kind of similar, you know? It's like they build the prospects on there, and then they go to the UFC if they're really good. Cage Warriors kind of similar, you know, the UK version. But your opponent, you know, Anthony O'Connor, this is your second fight with him. You actually fought him once before, and I mean, it's really no secret, you know, what your specialties are and your strengths. Your jiu-jitsu is slick, and I mean, your hands are good too. You definitely got, like, in your first fight, you hit him with some good shots. He took you down, and he, like, if we're going by scorecards, he probably won round one and was probably on his way to winning round two. Just I think judges, they judge the takedown too much. You know what I'm saying? They, just because you get the takedown doesn't mean you won the whole round. I think MMA judges put too much effort and emphasis on the takedown. And so you know, he wasn't really doing much damage. He was just kind of laying on you, and when you were up, you were controlling on the feet. He wasn't really destroying you. He's just kind of laying on you on top. But in the judges' eyes, you're on bottom, you know, so you're losing in the eyes of the judges most of the time. But then the second round come, and I just watched the fight, like I said, about 20 minutes ago, and you caught him with a slick triangle from the bottom. It kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like I've got kind of a unique setup for it. And, like, once I've got that collar tie, and then I've got control over wrist, and that's pretty much it. Like, I don't know, it's like, it's one of them, I can't really teach it or like, I don't know, it just kind of fits well in my body. So, like, once I get people in that position, that's kind of it, and it looks quite unique how it gets set up as well.
Did it surprise you, kind of, how fast you locked it in? Because it was like,
if the fight was going... When I did it, it felt like it was quite a slow one. I can still remember it. Like, I can just remember, like, the points that I go through in my head as I set off a triangle. And, yeah, it just felt like it was quite a slow one. I was actually quite shocked I caught him with it, but then watching the footage back, it did look pretty fast.
Yeah. Did you hesitate to accept this fight? You know, like, when they called, and you're like, I already beat that guy. You know, did you, did it take a little bit of, you know, talking to get you to take it, or was you just like, hell no, I already beat him, I'll beat him again?
Well, no, because basically I lost my last fight, but it was one of them really, like I didn't prepare as well as I should have done for it. And then I was already looking at, you know, getting on Cage Warriors because of my fight before that one. But then I thought I'd ruined it by, like, messing up that last fight. But then as soon as, like, I got an offer from Cage Warriors, and it was, like, for somebody that I've already beat before, I was like, this is too good to be true. So I was like, yeah, of course I'll do that.
Yeah, but, it makes sense.
Yeah, I was just like, I've been, like, really hyped up. Like, it's like, I don't know, like, you know, you kind of get, like, bored being at that level where, you know, you want to be on the big show and that because you've been doing it so long. And then, like, now the call comes and now I can get some, you know, proper experience in a proper atmosphere. You know, like, you know, it's like living the dream, really, because now I can, you know, get a real feel for it and be, you know, in the sort of arenas and stuff like that that I want to compete in and that, you know, with a professional show and everything. So,
this isn't just about... This isn't just about winning, you know, like winning your debut. You're coming off of a loss, so, you know, you're wanting to get back in that win column. And you still represent SBG Manchester, right?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. I'll probably be there for my entire career.
So you have a lot to represent, you know. You got to get that W. A lot of people, you know, when they come off losses, their mindset, you know, it gets to them, you know. It's hard to feel as confident if you lose. It depends. Sometimes it's, you know, decision. Sometimes you get knocked out, or however the loss happens. Sometimes losses change people. You think that it's not going to have no issue at all? You think you're just going to brush it off and get right back in the thick of things?
Yeah. No, I think I'm all good. Like, I was winning the first round of that fight, but it was kind of more of a fatigue issue because I kind of did something a bit stupid where I started signing myself up for this really brutal triathlon, which, you know, like, it wasn't an Ironman, but it was, like, pretty much like an Ironman, and I did it kind of 2 weeks before the fight and didn't sort of recover back in time and then burnt out in the fight and lost. So, but obviously, like, I'm not being that stupid now, and I've got it together, and my conditioning's changed, and now, like, I felt like my body's recovered really well from that, and I've gained a lot from it. So, yeah, now hopefully I'll look probably the best I've ever looked ever. I feel like the best I have been ever, and probably just like fly straight through this fight. Like, I've got a good feeling about it. Like, I'm really focused at the minute, and this is like the most focused I've been in a while for a fight. So yeah.
The UFC could definitely use you. You know, you're a great prospect, you know, give you a few fights. I'm not saying right away, you know, I mean, I'm sure if they called, you'd take it, but, like, let's say you get two or three fights in Cage Warriors, two or three good wins. Sometimes lessons are the best, you know, those little lessons you learn. You want to learn those lessons before you get to the big stage so you don't have to go through those lessons on the big stage.
Yeah, that's definitely correct, yeah. Like, I've been quite lucky to get this off still, so obviously everything's still going as planned, so yeah.
So the date, February 16th, do you cut a lot of weight? Because we're a little bit away, you know, from there. We still probably got like 2 weeks, 2.5, somewhere around in there, so is 155 hard for you to make, or is that the perfect weight class?
It depends, really. Like, it depends on my body, like, when I was doing a lot of the cardio, it was getting really easy to make, but now I need to be stronger, so I'm back doing a lot of weights and strength training. So now I've got a lot of lean mass, so I'm guessing this one's going to be like kind of a medium one, because I'm already quite light because I've been putting on mass from being too lean. So I've dropped a lot of weight doing like cardio sports on the side. But I have had really hard. My last cut was really hard because I don't know, my body just wouldn't give up the water for some reason, but this time I feel recovered. So I'm about 170 pounds at the minute, so I'm gonna say I'm gonna be 156. So that's not really that much, but I feel strong for the weight.
Yeah, like for the average person, you know, if you weigh, I weighed myself today and I was 130. I'm only 130 pounds, and like if I couldn't imagine dropping 15 pounds and getting to 115, you know, like you said, you're at 170, you're gonna get to, you know, 156, you know, is the limit. That's like, to the average person, thinking like that is like crazy. How, you know, how you, some of them do that in a day, in a 2 days. I remember when Conor McGregor fought Chad Mendes, it was rumored, and I think it was proven, that he cut 22 pounds in 1 week.
That's crazy. Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was 22 pounds in a week, but I didn't know that he did have a hard cut. Some of them were saying he was about 170, like 5 days out, and that to 145. So.
Yeah. Weight cutting's a big thing in MMA. You know, a lot of people. What I think it'll take is somebody actually getting seriously hurt, or maybe even dying. I don't want nobody to die. But you know, let's say somebody does die of weight cutting, then it'll be stopped. Like if somebody in the UFC died, it would be, the commissions would find some way to stop it.
Yeah, my view on weight cutting is there's two solutions. We either ban it altogether and weigh in on the day, and just like accept that everyone has to move up a weight or whatever, or have the weigh in 2 days before, so you've got more time to recover, so you're less likely to die in the fight.
I've always kind of thought this was a good idea. Why not have, instead of like a 10-pound gap, a 20-pound? Like, okay, like 145. You can weigh anywhere from 125 pounds to 145 pounds. Now, obviously, you're not going to want to step in there at 122, you know, and go in against somebody who's 140, you know. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if like heavyweight's weird one, because you can be from 206 to 265 at heavyweight, but those are bigger guys. I think that they should give it a little bit of a gap, you know, like 155 to 169, maybe. I know it's a weird number, but you know, like 155 to 170. I know you're going to get some bit of a height and weight. You're going to get some bit of a size difference, but you get that anyway. Look at when Darren Till fought Tyron Woodley. Darren Till looked like he was two weight classes heavier than Tyron, and Tyron is a big welterweight. When Darren Till fought Cowboy Cerrone, he made Cowboy look like a featherweight.
Yeah, he did, to be fair. It's, I don't know, it's just like, it's one of them. Like,
would you fight a bigger man? Like, if they offered you a fight, you're 155, you're a lightweight. If they said, okay, we're going to make it to where you could fight a middleweight, like a 185-pound man, do you think that would be a fair fight, or do you think that it's the 155-pound man just doesn't have the size and the strength of a middleweight, like a 185-pounder?
I don't know. I'd probably have to need a big check for that one. I'd be like, yeah, if like somebody was paying enough money, then I'd probably do something stupid like that. But, like, yeah.
There is this idea, you know, that size doesn't play a part, you know, because like old school MMA, UFC, like Hoyce Gracie, you know, 1993, he was only a 170-pound man, and he was beating really big, monstrous guys with jiu-jitsu. Now it's not really like that. Everybody is a black belt. Everybody's a brown belt. Everybody knows how to kick and punch, and it's very different now. You know, it's used to, you could get away with bullshit. You get away with some stuff. Now it seems like you can't get away with anything.
Yeah, I think you've only got like there's like two things that you need, and it's skill and like attributes. And obviously, if like somebody's skill level is both the same, but then someone's got a better attribute, then like statistically, they're probably, you know, gonna like do better.
Yeah, athleticism is so helpful. Just being like a natural athlete, you know, just be like Brock Lesnar, or, you know, Jose Aldo. He played soccer before he was in MMA. He's a good athlete. There's a lot of Eric Anders, you know, he played football before he got into those football player type guys. You straight from the go have an advantage over somebody who isn't naturally gifted, like BJ Penn. BJ Penn was not a freak athlete with a six pack and, you know, just undying bone structure and muscle tone. He was just a regular looking guy who was really, really good, you know, with a good mindset and good jiu-jitsu and a good fighter. Sometimes, I was talking about this last night with somebody, sometimes the guys who you look at and they don't really look like fighters, they are some of the best. Like Rory McDonald. Rory McDonald looks like he does your taxes for a living, but he's a world champion.
Just reality, isn't it, really? Because, I don't know how media portrays, like, people that are tough or whatever. They've got to look a certain way. But then, in, like, reality, I don't look like I fight.
That's what I was going to say. You don't look like a fighter.
And if you watch some of my fights, people would think, like, I'm a nutcase because I'm just there meeting people in the face. And I just look like a nice, regular lad. And I am outside the cage, but when I fight, I just can turn that thing on, you know, that... I don't know, it's like primal thing where you can just fucking go for it on someone and just not care. Yeah.
Well, people, if you haven't watched him or if you haven't checked him out, go to YouTube and type in Stephen Hooper MMA. He's got highlights. That one fight of the night. What was that one fight that was fight of the night where it went to a split decision and you won?
Yeah, I fought about Alex Thompson. He was from the same team as the guy I'm fighting next.
Oh.
So they want that win back because they did not like
the
lead.
I just watched that fight too before we come in. I was watching every time, you know, before I have anybody on, I watch a bunch of their fights. And I watched that one too, and that was a good damn fight.
I'll tell you, right, so basically, right, that Ellis guy, he's like a generation of fighter above me. So like, I've only been a pro just over a year, but he's been pro since 2012.
Ooh.
So like, I don't know, he's had like four or five Cage Warriors fights. So basically, I like get offered that fight, and I just don't fucking care. So like I take any fight. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. And then everyone's thinking, what the fuck are you doing taking that fight? Like, Ellis is gonna smash him, whatever. Then like his team gets involved over like social media with my friends just like saying stuff to him, and that, and they're like, oh no, I'm gonna get smashed or whatever. So then I turn up and. We just had this fucking like mental war, and I was just like, I don't know, I felt like really relaxed that night. I had a right good time. In fact, I'm gonna probably say that was like probably the best night ever in my life. Like, it just had everything, and then I won, and it was like kind of a shock. And then everyone was like, oh, who the fuck this guy? Like, so then I got a bit of a name for myself now.
Yeah, and everyone, that's definitely.
Like, it's been hard to find fights. Hard to find fights. No one wants to fight because like they're scared and when they like need a face off, but. You know, I kind of stepped up for a second time, so that's good.
That was definitely a great fight. Now, two wins later, you know, you got the first win over O'Connor. It's been a little while. That was in 2016, right?
2017.
So, it's been, you know, a little while. But, you know, you could very easily beat O'Connor again, you know. He's tough. He's definitely tough, and he's game.
Yeah, he hits hard, doesn't he? I got a bit watch that, but I think I've got quite a smart game. I'm quite a cerebral fighter, whereas he's quite a, aggression or whatever. But like, I don't know. I think differently. I don't end up fight with the aggression. I just trying to get that like focus where I just know what to do, and I just flow kind of thing. I don't know. And then that's how I like to fight. But, I don't know. I think that works better against his style. Like, because I didn't take a lot of damage in the last one because I was just being smart and I was just waiting it out. And then, obviously, I got him at the right time. So I'll probably do that again. Or I might go for it a bit more this time. Because I think, I've got his rhythm a bit better. But we'll see what I do on the night.
You're very technical, you know. Like we were saying last time, you know, the first two rounds, you know, he was... It was back and forth on the feet a little bit, and then he was just laying on top of you a little, but then a submission come out of nowhere, and it's over. You've had wars, like we said, that split decision, and you're very, like you said, he's aggressive and goes with aggression, and the best way to match aggression is with technique, and I believe that's what's ultimately going to get you a second win against him.
Yeah, definitely.
But I definitely want to thank you for your time, man.
Yeah, no worries, man. Been good.
And I'll definitely have you on again, man.
Yeah, no worries. Happy to be on it again. Like, keep it up. You're doing good.
Yes, definitely.
It's getting bigger.
Yes, yes. Check it out. I've had a lot more people on. I've had some big names on myself. Bellator, UFC, the logo behind me. I don't know if you see. You see my logo behind me?
Oh, that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did see that on your Facebook the other day. Yeah,
on my Twitter. Got the logo behind me. Slowly, slowly getting bigger.
Yeah, I keep it up, man.
But I appreciate you guys are what makes it. You know, the guest is what makes it. But I appreciate anybody who answers me and, you know, agrees to come on. And I'm definitely rooting for you, man. Once again, February 16th in Liverpool versus Anthony O'Connor, who he is already 1-0 against. Looking to go 2-0 in the books with maybe another excellent jiu-jitsu skills. If you guys haven't looked him up, I'm going to say again, guys, for my listeners, if you guys haven't looked him up, go to Stephen Hooper MMA on YouTube and look up some of his fights. I mean, he is very skilled on the ground, good jiu-jitsu, good boxing, good. I mean, he's just an overall good fighter. And definitely check him out if you guys haven't checked him out.
Nice, man.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, man, and you have a good rest of the night.
Cheers, man, you too.
See ya.
In a bit.
I hope you guys enjoyed this Smoke Break MMA interview. I want to give a quick shout out to Kristen King, Ty O'Keefe, John Sloan MMA, Darren Laux, Craig Allen. And if I'm leaving anybody out, I'm sorry. But Monstars MMA, No Turn Unstoned. You guys know who you are on Twitter, the MMA family. And hit me up for episodes. Hit me up for questions. I'm always down for questions. I'm always down for interviews, fan interactions. You know, I am a fan. I'm not really, like I've said before, I'm a fan too, just like you guys are. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with Stephen Clocky T. Hooper. What a very interesting nickname. Very interesting guy. He's very laid back, very chill. You wouldn't think he was a fighter, but man, that guy's a killer. Excellent jiu-jitsu, very good off of his back. His guard, you know, like most guards aren't that good. This guy, if you're landing this guy's full guard, you're in trouble. So check it out. February 16th, Liverpool against O'Connor, guy who he's already beat, Cage Warriors lightweight debut. Definitely check him out, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed. You guys have a good rest of the night.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.